Hello, I'm Richard Roberts, and I'm so glad to have an opportunity to share with you today concerning the healing power of God. What God did in Bible days, He's still doing these days. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. My father, Oral Roberts, used to say to me, "Son, with all the great medical advancements, with all the great doctors and nurses and clinics, with all the great medicines that are being discovered, people seem to be sicker than they have ever been. And it's God's will for people to be well." Just look, for example, at Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. "I am the Lord that healeth thee." We thank God for the doctor. We thank God for the person who prays. We thank God for the diet, the climate, the exercise. But it is the Lord who should get the glory. And whenever something happens to my body and I go to the doctor or I take some type of supplement or Lindsay gives me something that helps me, I also pray. And when the healing comes, I thank those who prayed, I thank those who helped me, but I give the glory of the healing to God. I want you to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that healing is for you. And healing is for today. And I want to take you through the scriptures and show you healing all the way from Genesis to Revelation. Take, for example, Exodus chapter 23 and verse 25, where the Bible says, "You shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless your bread and water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee. And there shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill." If ever there was a healing word for people, that is it. And if you study the Bible, you'll find beginning even in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 20, verses 1 through 18, you'll find Abraham praying for Abimelech, and God healed him. In Numbers 12 and 1 through 15, God healed Moses' sister, Miriam, of leprosy. You'll go on and find in 1 Samuel chapter 1 and verses 9 through 20 that God healed Hannah's barrenness so that she could bear a child. In 1 Kings 17, verses 17 through 24, you'll see Elijah raising a widow's son from death. Yes, even raising them from the grave. In 2 Kings 4, verses 18 through 37, Elisha, who was the protege of Elijah, raises the Shunammite woman's son after he had prophesied that he would be born. In Proverbs 4, 20 through 22, the Bible says, "My son, attend to my words. Incline your ears to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh." Listen to that. There's health, there's healing, and there's wholeness through God and through His Word. In Daniel 4, verses 34 through 36, the Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar was healed of his insanity. And in Deuteronomy 7 and 15, the Bible says, "The Lord will take away from you all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which you have known, upon you, but I will lay them upon those who hate you." I want you to know that God, throughout the Word of God, is a healing God. Now, if you move over into the New Testament, you'll find the ministry of Jesus. In Acts 10:38, you'll find Jesus went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because the Lord's anointing was on him. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." That's Luke chapter 4. "For God has anointed me." And part of that anointing, he said, was to bring healing to the sick. You see, Jesus is a healing Jesus. Wherever he went, he not only preached and taught, but he healed. He confirmed his word with miracles and signs and wonders. Just look at John chapter 4, verses 46 through 54, where Jesus heals a nobleman's son. Then in several of the Gospels, in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll find Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law when she was sick with a fever. Also in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you'll see Jesus healing the servant or the military aide of a Roman army captain. And you'll also find Jesus healing a paralyzed man when men carried him on a cot and lowered him into the roof, into the place where Jesus was preaching. In Luke 7, verses 11 through 17, you'll find Jesus raising a widow's son. He was coming into town as the widow, and the funeral procession were coming out of the city to bury the son. But Jesus went over and touched the bier, the thing that held the body there on the funeral procession. And he healed him. He had compassion upon him, and he healed him. And then Matthew, Mark, and Luke also tell the story of a woman who had an issue of blood for some 12 years. And while Jesus was on his way to heal someone else, this woman reached up and touched the border of his garment, for she had said, "If I can only touch his clothing, I know that I shall be healed." And when she touched the border of his garment, Jesus whirled around and said, "Who touched me?" Now, theologians teach us that rabbis in those days wore a certain type of prayer shawl. The prayer shawl had at its base tassels, which were representative of the law of Moses. That woman was a Jew, and she knew that. She knew that Jesus was referred to as Rabboni or Rabbi. She knew that those tassels represented the Word of God. And I believe what she was saying in her heart was, if I can just get my hands on those tassels, if I can just get my hands on what is represented in the Word of God, I can be healed. In other words, he doesn't have to touch me. I don't have to touch him. If I can just get my hands on the Word of God, I can be healed. And she touched those tassels. She touched the border of his garment where those tassels were. And Jesus whirled around and said, "Who touched me?" Now, it's amazing. She touched the border of his garment, but he said, "Who touched me?" His disciples said, "Well, Jesus, everyone is touching you. Everyone's crying out, 'Touch me, heal me, bless me.'" Jesus said, "No, this was a different kind of touch. For I felt power. I felt virtue go out of me." And he turned, and there she was, and she told him, the Bible says, she told him all the truth. She told him the whole story. And he said, "Woman, go in peace and be whole of your plague." Praise God, praise God. Jesus is a healing Jesus. And if you study Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find that Jesus was either on his way to heal somebody, or he was there in the process of healing them, or he was on his way to heal somebody else. Jesus is a healing Jesus. All throughout the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, you will find the healing power of God. And when the disciples went out after Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, after he ascended unto heaven and sent the Holy Spirit, you find them moving in the power of God. When Peter and John in the book of Acts went to the temple, they found a man who had been carried there every day. He was lame. He couldn't walk. And Peter and John said, "Such as we have, we give unto you in the authority of Jesus' name, rise up and walk." And the man was healed, leaping, praising, and going into the synagogue with them. So we see that Jesus is a healing Jesus. Now let me give you 7 reasons why Jesus is a healer. Number 1, he's a healer because of compassion. The Bible says in Matthew 14:14 that Jesus went forth, he saw a great crowd, he was moved with compassion toward the people, and he healed their sick. Compassion is an irresistible urge to remove the problem from the person. And when Jesus saw sick people, he had compassion toward them. No matter what the hour, if it was the morning, the afternoon, the evening, Jesus always was ready to bring healing. As an example, in Matthew 20, 2 blind men cried out to Jesus, "Have mercy on me." I believe what they were saying was, "Jesus, have compassion on me." And Jesus had compassion. He stopped and he healed them. So, first of all, Jesus heals because he has compassion. Secondly, he heals because healing is the children's bread. In Matthew 15 and Mark 7, there is a remarkable story of the Syrophoenician woman, a woman who was from what we would call today Lebanon, the coasts of Lebanon. And she had a demon-possessed daughter, and she came and she besought Jesus to bring healing. And the disciples got tired of her and said, "Send her away." And Jesus finally spoke to her and said, "It's not right to take healing, which is the children's bread, and cast it before dogs." And she said, "Yes, Lord, you're right. But even the little dogs at the table get to eat the crumbs from the master." She knew the custom in Israel. Most of the families had a little dog, and the dog oftentimes would sit on the lap of the master of the house, the father. And they would feed the little scraps to the dog. I believe what she was saying was, you don't have to do anything great. Just give me a little crumb. I have faith to believe God for a miracle. And Jesus said, "Woman, great is your faith." And he healed the little girl. I remember when I was a boy, my father pitched his tent in Florida. I must have been 7 or 8 years old. And that night, a woman brought her little boy, who was about my age, into the prayer line. And Brother DeWeese, who was my dad's longtime associate evangelist, handed my father the prayer card. And my father read on it that the little boy had been born without a hip socket. And my father turned to the woman and said, "Ma'am, I'm so sorry. I do not have faith for a creative miracle. This healing is going to have to wait until the resurrection." And the woman looked at my father, I'll never forget it, and said, "Brother Oral Roberts, I don't ask you to have any faith at all. You just pray, and I will do the believing." Well, my dad was shocked at what she said, but he prayed. But the little boy went off the platform just like he came on his crutches, his built-up shoe, his little hip all sunken in because there was no hip socket. But the next night, when we got to the tent for the service, Brother DeWeese had the mother and the little boy up on the platform, and the little boy was running and jumping. The mother was praising God. The crowd was cheering. The little boy had no crutch. He had no built-up shoe. He was running just like I could run. And my father went up on the platform and put his hand on the little boy's hip, which had been all sunken in the night before. In the night, God had created a hip socket. Let me tell you, friend, healing is the children's bread. Then number three, Jesus heals to fulfill the prophecy of healing in the atonement. Isaiah 53:5 says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Praise God. Then Matthew 8, verses 16 and 17. "When the evening was come, they brought unto Jesus many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses." Then number four, Jesus heals to reveal his Father's glory. In Matthew 15, verses 30 through 31, the Bible says, "A great multitude came to him, having with them those that were lame, blind, unable to speak, maimed, as well as many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet, and he healed them, insomuch that the multitude wondered. When they saw those who could not speak, when they saw the maimed whole and healed, when they saw the lame walking and the blind seeing, they glorified the God of Israel." Jesus healed to reveal his Father's glory. And then number five, Jesus healed to prove his own mission. In John 10, verses 37 through 38, the Bible says, "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I am in him." You see, it was Jesus proving his mission, the reason that he came. Then, number six, Jesus heals to destroy the works of the devil. 1 John 3:8 says, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Make no mistake about it. Sickness and disease is a work of the devil. Sickness is not your friend. It's not something that you say, "Look at me, I'm taking in sickness. I'm coddling this sickness. Sickness, I welcome you in." No, no, no. Sickness is not your friend. Sickness is like death reaching out its icy hand to take you out of existence. And Jesus came to take off you what the devil put on, and to take out of you what the devil put in, and to put back in you what the devil took out, and to put back on you what the devil took off. And his purpose was to destroy the works of the devil. Then number seven, Jesus heals to prove that he is the Messiah. Remember John 3:16 says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son so that men and women would not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. I've got news, friend. Jesus is a healing Jesus. And He said that I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. So what He did in Bible days, He's still doing these days. This ministry began as a healing ministry in 1947 in the little western Oklahoma town of Enid. My father, Oral Roberts, was a young, struggling pastor with about 60 to 70 members in his church. But something happened one day. One of his church members was involved in an accident, and a motor in his automobile repair shop fell off its blocks and crushed his foot. And they called on my father to come and pray. And my father came and laid his hands on his foot and prayed. Instantly, there was a healing move of God. And the man jumped up. He was able to move his foot. He stopped his crying and writhing in pain and said, "Brother Roberts, what did you do?" My father said, "Well, I just prayed." He said, "Well, look, God has healed my foot." And my father went back home, and my mother said, "Oral, this is the beginning of the healing ministry that God spoke to you about when you were healed of tuberculosis." Now, when my father was 17 years of age, God healed him of tuberculosis and said to him in the back seat of a borrowed car, "Son, I am going to heal you, and you're to take my healing power to your generation." Well, 12 years had passed since that healing. He had pastored in North Carolina, in Georgia, as well as in Oklahoma, and it seemed that that dream and vision had died out. Yet now, being faced with the healing miracle of one of his members, he knew that God was about to do something. And he said to my mother, "Evelyn, don't cook for me. I'm going on a fast. I've got to hear from God." And the Lord spoke to him and said, "I want you to read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts 3 times through consecutively, and I want you to do it on your knees." And my dad was pastoring a church. He was the husband and father of 2 children. I was not yet born. My older sister and older brother were born or were alive. And he was also pastoring that church and going to school in college. He didn't have a whole lot of time, so he would get up in the middle of the night and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and the book of Acts. And as he did, he saw Jesus rising up out of the pages. And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Son, I'm going to let you see people as I see them. I'm going to let you feel them as I feel them. And you are going to enter into a healing ministry." Well, the fast was over by that time, and my mother was able to cook for him again. And he said, "Evelyn, we're going to lay a fleece out before God. We're going to have a healing service." Well, they'd never had a healing service in their church before. And my father got an idea from God to rent the Enid Auditorium, which seated 1,000 people. And he announced it to his crowd. He said, "Several weeks from now, we're going to have a healing service on a Sunday afternoon. And I've laid out 3 fleeces before the Lord. First of all, the building has to be full. Secondly, the offering must cover the expenses. And third, someone must be healed so that they know it and I know it." Now, that's not to make a suggestion to you or anyone else that you make a fleece before God. That was the way that God led him. He led him specifically to do that. He may lay something like that on your heart. He may not ever lay anything like that on your heart. Well, when he announced it to the church, he would later tell me as I grew up that everybody dropped their heads because they'd never seen anybody heal, much less seen the Enid Auditorium with 1,000 people in it. Here's a little church of 60 to 70 people. How could they fill the Enid Auditorium with 1,000 people? They knew that the offering wouldn't be enough to cover the expenses, and they just dropped their heads because my father said, "If it doesn't happen, I'm getting out of the ministry. I'm not going to pastor this church anymore. I'm going to get a job in the men's clothing store here in town. If God is not who He says He is." Well, the people just dropped their heads knowing that very soon they would be without a pastor. Well, they advertised the best they could. They didn't have TV or radio to go on. They put flyers up in the little store windows and went door to door and did everything they knew to do. And when the Sunday afternoon came, he and my mother drove up behind the Enid Auditorium. And when they got out of the car, the building janitor was standing there. He said, "Are you Oral Roberts?" "Yes, I am." "Well, I understand that you're believing for 1,000 people to be in the building today." My father said, "Yes, that's right." "Well, Brother Roberts, would you like to know how many people are in there? I've just counted them." My dad said, yes. He said, Brother Roberts, there are more than 1,000 people in the building. Well, that was fleece number one. My dad walked to the platform and said, I'm going to raise the offering. All of you know the fleeces, because the word had spread throughout the little town of about 10,000 people. And he quickly raised the offering and said, I want you to count it. And before he preached, they counted it. And the offering was $3 more than the expenses. That was fleece number two. He preached a message called, If You Need Healing, Do These Things. And afterwards he said, Who needs prayer? Come forward. Form a line. In the same kind of way in which a line was formed when he was 17 years old and he got in it, and a man of God prayed for him and he was healed of tuberculosis and healed of a stuttering tongue. He did what he had seen before, and he began to lay his hands on people and pray. And there was a German woman in town who spoke with a heavy German accent. Her hand had been frozen for 30 years. She'd been unable to open and close it. And when he touched her, her hand shot open. And she let out a scream, and the people began to rejoice when they saw her, because everyone knew she could not open and close her hand. And people started to get healed. First thing you know, my father told me that 7 men came up behind him and tugged on his coat. He said, Brother Roberts, would you please lead us in a sinner's prayer? These were men who were husbands of women who were in his church, but the men wouldn't come. But they came that day out of curiosity. And they said, Brother Roberts, would you lead us in a sinner's prayer? We've just seen these great miracles and we want to get saved. And my father stood there before that crowd and led those 7 men to Jesus and laid hands on people until late in the evening. And the Lord spoke to him that night and said, Son, you're going to have to leave Enid and move to Tulsa, some 70 miles to the east. Tulsa has an airport. I'm going to send you all over the world with the healing, saving ministry of Jesus. And so a few months later, they moved to the city of Tulsa, and he launched out into a healing ministry. The next year, I was born, and I came up, growing up, in the healing ministry with my father. And every opportunity that I had, I would travel with him to crusades all over America and all over the world. And after he would preach and give an altar call, he would go to a little auxiliary tent outside of the main tent where people who were too sick to stand in the prayer line would wait for him to come and lay hands on them. And whenever I could, I would go with him and stand with him in those prayer lines. And then in the main tent, he would oftentimes call me up to stand by his side, and I would pray. Sometimes he would even say, Son, you lay your hands on them. I didn't realize in those days that God was schooling me for the healing ministry. Now, when I became a teenager, I rebelled against God. I ran away from God. I left home to get away from God and the influence of God in my life. But when I was 19, I came back. I was like that young man in the Bible that Jesus talked about. I came home to my Father, my heavenly Father, and to my earthly Father. And the relationship that had been strained during those teenage years between me and my Father was healed. And God called me to preach, and then later called me to pray for the sick. When Lindsay and I got married, we knew that it was time for the healing ministry to break forth. It was God's hour. It was God's time. And we didn't know exactly what to do, but we got a hold of a scripture in Mark chapter 4. What things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you shall receive them and you shall have them. And Lindsay and I looked at each other and said, is this scripture real? If it's real, then we've got to act on it. And we said, in the authority of the name of Jesus, we know that we're supposed to have a healing ministry. So, Father, we ask you for a healing ministry, and by faith, we receive it. Now, we didn't tell anybody. We didn't announce it on television. We didn't talk to our family members about it. No. We just held it in our hearts. But each day, we confessed by faith. And by the way, I'm going to give you some scriptures at the close of this CD for you to make a faith confession. We just confessed every day we have a healing ministry. Now, make no mistake about it. We didn't have it in the natural. But by faith, we had it. And the days passed and the months passed. We didn't announce it on television. We didn't tell anybody. We just kept confessing by faith. We have a healing ministry. Days passed, weeks passed, months passed. And I remember that she and I were in Albuquerque, New Mexico. when an anointing came on me for healing like I'd never known in my life, and people began to get healed, miracles began to happen. And they've been happening ever since. That was back in April of 1980. And God is continuing to heal people wherever I go. I remember the first trip that Lindsay and I took to Nigeria up in Western Africa. And I prayed that night. There were some 15,000 people, and there was a young man who had been brought there, carried there, because he was unable to walk. He was referred to as the beggar of Jos. His parents would carry him each day to the post office where he begged for money because he couldn't walk. And someone brought him to the service that night. And when I stretched out my hands and prayed, God healed him. And he came forward and gave his testimony and ran back and forth across the platform. He'd never stood up in his life. And the media carried the story the next day on the front page of the newspaper. Beggar of Jos healed. And the crowd swelled to 100,000 people the next night. And the next night, some 25,000 people gave their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. This healing ministry is deep in my heart. I remember back in the mid to late 80s that Lindsay and I had traveled down to Guatemala in Central America. And they brought a little 9-year-old girl who was in the final stages of cancer. They brought her for prayer. And I saw her, and I went down and laid my hands on her. But I never found out what happened afterwards. You know, sometimes healing comes quickly. Sometimes it comes over a period of time. And on that last closing day, Lindsay and I must have laid hands on 4,000 or 5,000 people in that great auditorium. But I never heard the rest of the story until a few years ago. I went back to Guatemala City for a crusade. And a very nice-looking woman, probably in her 30s, came up to me and introduced herself. She was a dentist there in the area. And she said, "Do you remember the little 9-year-old girl that you prayed for when you and your wife were here for a crusade?" I said, "Oh, yes, I remember very well." She said, "Did you ever hear what happened to her?" We said, "No." She said, "I am that girl." I said, "What?" She said, "Yes, I was diagnosed with terminal cancer." She said, "All the other children in the ward had passed away. I was the only one. And you prayed for me. My grandmother brought me to your service. And you prayed for me, and God healed me. And I'm a living testimony of the healing power of God." I'll tell you, we rejoiced. I remember when Lindsay and I were preaching once in Denver. And there was a woman in a wheelchair. And I prayed for her, and I said, "Ma'am, if all you can do is move a finger or a toe, move it." You see, I wanted to get her faith into action. And I looked at her, and she was just moving one finger. And I prayed for others, and I looked over, and she was moving her hand and moving her arm. And I prayed for others, and I looked over again, and she was moving her body and moving her legs. And I prayed for others, and I looked, and the wheelchair was empty. And she was up praising the Lord. You see, faith requires action. And I want to share more about that in just a few minutes' time. Faith requires an action. And that woman got into faith. She got into an agreement with my prayer. And God healed her. And Lindsay and I actually watched her push her own wheelchair to the car. Then, some months ago, I was preaching down in Florida. And at the close of the service, the pastor asked me if I would lay hands on the congregation. And so they formed a healing line, and I walked up and down the line praying, not knowing that there was a woman in the prayer line who had been diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. But I laid hands on everyone and prayed the prayer of faith. And the Bible says, "The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise you up." And so I prayed for people, and I prayed for her, but I didn't know that I was praying for a woman with stage 4 cancer. A few weeks later, I got a call from the pastor. She was so excited. She said, "Richard, do you remember the woman you prayed for who had stage 4 cancer?" I said, "No, pastor. What do you mean?" And then she told me the story I just told you. I said, "I didn't know that. I just knew that I prayed for people." She said, "There was a woman in the line who had stage 4 cancer, and she came especially for you to lay hands on her and pray." And she said, "You did." And I said, "Well, what's happened?" She said, "She's been back to the doctor, and the doctors cannot find a trace of cancer in her body. She is healed." I have news, friend. Jesus is a healing Jesus. 3 John 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." Just look at that word, health. Health, that means healing. H-E-A-L-T-H. Health means healing. Sickness is not from God. The devil, cometh but for to steal, kill, and destroy. That's John 10:10. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. It's God's will for you to be healed. A leper once came to Jesus and said, you can heal me if you want to. And Jesus said, I will, or I want to, and he healed him. It's God's will for you to be well. Now the question is, how do you receive healing? How can I get into a position where I can receive the healing touch of God? Well, there are three things I think are critical for you to do. First, get a point of contact. A point of contact is something that you do. And when you do it, you release your faith. When I was a boy, I had 22 warts on my left hand. My mother was going to take me to the doctor and have them burned off. My father came home from preaching and said, son, let's go into the bedroom and let me lay hands on you and pray. He said, I'm going to pray. And when I do, I want you to release your faith through a point of contact. I said, what do you mean a point of contact? He said, son, a point of contact is something you do, and when you do it, it sets the time for your faith to be released. He looked at the wall and said, do you see the light switch? Yes. The light switch is a point of contact. What do you mean point of contact, Daddy? Richard, there's no power in the switch. The power is in the electric company. But the switch is hooked up to the electric company. And when you flip the switch, you touch the power of the electric company and the lights come on. Well, as a boy, I could understand that. He said, your faith in your heart is just like that switch. And when you flip the switch, or in other words, when you let your faith go to God, you touch God's power company. And that's when the miracles come. He began to pray for me. And he came to a point of the prayer where he said, now in Jesus' name, be made whole. And I just, not knowing what else to do, I just said, faith, get up there to God. Get up there, get up there, get up there. I looked at my hand. It was my left hand. I'm left-handed. I looked at my hand and every wart was still there. And I looked up at my father as if to say, what's going on? And he said, now, son, we have prayed and we have believed. Now, let's expect something to happen. Once again, let me say it. Sometimes miracles come quickly. Sometimes they come over a period of time. The next morning I woke up, the warts were still there. The second morning, the third morning, the fourth morning, the fifth morning, they were still there. The sixth morning, the seventh morning, the eighth morning, the ninth morning, when I woke up, they were still there. But on the tenth morning, I woke up and looked at my hand. Every wart had disappeared, and I've never had another wart on that hand since. But more importantly, I learned how to get a point of contact. Now, secondly, releasing your faith means you turn it loose. You were born with faith. Romans tells us that God has given to every person the measure of faith. So you don't have to go and get faith. You have faith. Perhaps you're not using it, but you have it. God has given to you not a measure, but the measure, the Bible says. Faith was intended to be released. When I pray for you, or when someone else prays for you, or when you pray for yourself, you've got to release your faith. Well, how do you release your faith? Well, you turn it loose. You let it go to God. It's just like what my father was teaching me through a point of contact. When I pray in a few minutes' time, you've got to release your faith. You've got to believe God and let it go. And then third, expect a miracle. When you pray, expect something to happen. Now, it may come instantaneously. It may come over a period of time. You and I are not in charge of that agenda. But we are not to give up. Oftentimes, when I pray for people, there seems to be an instantaneous healing. Other times, there doesn't seem to be anything happening at that moment. But I always say to someone, we have prayed, we have believed, we have expected. Now, let's hold on to our faith until the miracle comes. The atmosphere that you're in is so critically important. Find a strong Bible-believing church where the pastor teaches and preaches the Word of God and where the Word is confirmed with miracles and signs and wonders. There may be a special prayer group in the church that you can be a part of. Ask God to send a special prayer partner to you, a friend who would stand with you in faith. Remember, the Abundant Life Prayer Group is always on duty, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. praying the prayer of faith. And when you call 918-495-7777, not only do they pray, but they always bring your prayer request to me so that I can hold every prayer request in my hands and pray and believe God for a miracle. I will also write you back and bring you a good word from the Bible. Also, there's great help in Christian television and Christian radio, and you can listen to CDs of worship music, and you can really build yourself up in the most holy faith. I want to remind you also that some years ago, before my father went home to be with the Lord, he encouraged Lindsay and me to begin an online school, especially focused in on the saving, healing, delivering ministry of Jesus. I call it the Richard Roberts School of Miracles. There are thousands of people around the world in some 75 countries that are students online, and the courses are free of charge. I want to encourage you to become a student in the School of Miracles. It's free. It's on demand. Everyone can participate. The world needs healing, and we have an opportunity to touch and to bless people around the world. And I'd like to provide this teaching that is online to you free of charge. All you need to do is go to our ministry website, oralroberts.com, and you can link over to the school. You can become a student free of charge in the School of Miracles from wherever you are in the world. It's on demand, which means you can start and stop at any time you want. I pray and believe it'll be a blessing. Consider starting with the course on Jesus and the healing ministry. I pray and believe this school will be a blessing in your life. Now let me remind you that in Mark 16, Jesus said, "You shall lay hands upon the sick, and the sick shall recover." There are many people who believe that that was just for the disciples. But the book of John says, "If you follow my word, then you are my disciple." That word was certainly for those 12. But it's also for you and me today. You and I are to lay hands upon the sick. You say, "Well, Richard, you're called into the healing ministry." Well, it's true, and I accepted that call when I was a young man. But every born-again believer can pray for the sick. Remember, the Bible says, "Pray one for another that you may be healed." It's a prayer that you pray for someone else, and then you expect God to heal you. You may have a family member that's ill. There may be someone where you work that's ill, or someone else that you know who lives down the street or in the same building. You say, "Well, how can I pray for them?" Well, you can always ask God to show you how, and I believe the Lord, who is merciful and tender, will show you exactly how you can pray for someone. Maybe you can't lay hands on them where they are, but maybe the Lord might bring their name to you right there in your room or in your home. Remember, there's no distance in prayer. Psalm 107 verse 20 says, "He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction." Many times, there are family members that I pray for that I'm not with, but I can send the word to them and I can believe God, just like Jesus sent the word to the Roman army captain's military aide. He said, "Go your way, and as you go, your military aide will be healed." And he was. You can send the word. But you and I can be in an atmosphere of prayer at all times for people around us. I remember years ago, there was a woman who worked in our ministry office, and she was diagnosed with cancer. The doctor said, "There's nothing else we can do medically." They told her that she had 6 months to live. And the Lord spoke to her and said, "I want you to go throughout our city and find people who have cancer and pray for them." And for several weeks and months, she went as she was able, and she laid hands and prayed for people who had cancer. You know, in 6 months' time, she was back to the doctor, and the doctor gave her a clean bill of health without any cancer in her body. That was an example of James 5, praying one for another that you may be healed. When you pray, don't stop believing. Hold on to your faith. Sometimes, as I said, it comes quickly. Sometimes it comes over a period of time. But remember, Jesus is the healer. Now, Father, right now, in the authority of Jesus' name, I feel that it's time to pray. I want to pray especially for you, and then I want to give you a group of scriptures for you to confess and to quote every day, just like Lindsay and I do. So, whatever you're doing, if you can, stop for a moment and stretch out your hands as I'm stretching out my hands. Father, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it is by the Holy Spirit that I pray this prayer. My dear friend, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I come against every sickness, every disease, every fear, and every doubt. In the authority of Jesus' name, I command the devil to take his hands off of God's property. Be healed from the crown of your head, even to the soles of your feet. I pray now over your mind, your will, and your emotions. I pray for God to heal you in every area. I rebuke every trace of depression, discouragement, fear, worry, anything like that that has come against you. I bind it in the authority of Jesus' name. I pray for your family. I pray for God to bring healing to all of your family members. I'm praying for God to touch you in every area of your life, and I'm including your finances. I'm praying that as you continue to sow your seed unto the Lord, that the Lord will truly open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing so much so that there's not enough room to receive it. I pray over you in every area of your life in the authority of Jesus' name. I speak to the pain that is in your head. Come out in Jesus' name. I speak to the problem with your teeth and gums and jaw. Be healed in the name of Jesus. I speak to the problem in your neck and in your throat and in your voice box. Be healed in Jesus' mighty name. I speak to your lungs. I command COPD to come out. Asthma, emphysema, come out. I speak to your sinuses. Open up, and may your breathing be restored fully. In Jesus' mighty name, I come against the heart problem. You foul, tormenting attack against the heart, I curse you at the very root. And I pray for healing in your heart right now, that your arteries would open up and that you would be healed and your heart would beat normally. No skipping of beats, no arrhythmia, but being healed in Jesus' name. I speak to the blood pressure and the blood sugar. That which is too high, come down. That which is too low, come up. I pray for a healing in your blood pressure and in your blood sugar. I pray over every organ in your body, your stomach, your liver, your gallbladder, your pancreas, your colon. Be healed in the authority of Jesus' name. I pray for every bodily function to be healed and to operate normally in the way that God created you. I speak to cataracts. I speak to blindness. I speak to glaucoma. In the authority of Jesus' mighty name, I say, come out and be healed. I speak now to the loss of hearing, the eustachian tube, the eardrum, the vertigo, the problem, the infection. Come out in the name of Jesus. I set my faith with you for healing. I come against arthritis. I come against bursitis. I come against osteoporosis and anything that would come against your muscles and your bones. I speak strength and healing into your bones, into your muscles. I pray for your feet to be healed, for your knees to be healed. I rebuke every trace of swelling in your body. I rebuke the problem with your hips and with your back. I speak to your discs and vertebrae. Be healed in the authority of Jesus' name. I speak to your shoulders and your neck. I pray for healing in every area. I pray for the scoliosis to be healed in the back. I pray for God to heal you in every area of your body in the authority of Jesus' mighty name. I rebuke every infection. I rebuke anything that is unlike God that's tried to attach itself to you. I come against it with the full force of my faith. Now, release your faith. Expect God to do a miracle in your life. I pray and I believe this prayer, and I expect a miracle. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, here are healing confessions that you can pray and believe along with me. What I suggest is that you get your Bible and you list these scriptures out. And as you listen to this CD over and over again, you can confess these scriptures out loud with me. Are you ready? Exodus 15:26. You are the Lord who heals me. Exodus 23:25. I shall serve the Lord my God, and he will bless my bread and water, and he will take away sickness from the midst of me. Psalm 30:2. O Lord my God, I cried out to you, and you healed me. Psalm 103:2, 3, and 5. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all my iniquities, heals all my diseases, satisfies my mouth with good things, so that my youth is renewed like the eagles. Psalm 107, verse 20. The Lord sent His word and healed me, and delivered me from my destructions. Proverbs 4, 20 through 22. I give attention to God's word and incline my ears to His sayings. I don't let them depart from my eyes. I keep them in the midst of my heart, for they are life to me who has found them and health to all my flesh. Isaiah 53, 5. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The chastisement for my peace was upon Him, and by His stripes I am healed. Isaiah 58, 8. My light shall break forth like the morning. My healing shall spring forth speedily. Jeremiah 17, 14. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for You are my praise. Matthew 14, 14. And when Jesus went out, He saw a great multitude, and He was moved with compassion for them, and healed their sick, including me. Luke 4, 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus, and He is anointed to preach the gospel to me, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to me, the captive and recovering of sight to me, the blind, and to set at liberty those that are oppressed, and that includes me. 3 John 2, God wishes above all things that I may prosper and be in health, even as my soul prospers. Friend, as you confess these healing scriptures, I'm believing that God is going to touch you from the crown of your head even to the soles of your feet. And I set my faith with you again right now for God to do it in Jesus' mighty name. Remember, the Abundant Life Prayer Group is always ready to receive your call for prayer. The number to call is 918-495-7777. You can also always email at oralroberts.com. Or you can write Richard Roberts, and I will always pray, and I will always write you back and bring you a good word from the Bible. Praise God, I am expecting a miracle for you in the mighty name of Jesus.